Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Kim Aubrey. Kim, you're a founding member and an editor at Red Claw Press. Why did you decide to set up a publishing company? And do you specialize in a particular genre?
I belong to a writers group in Toronto called the Literary Lobster. We started out as we were going to be a writing school, and then I think we were going to be a writer's retreat, and then we became a writer's group. And somewhere along the way, we thought it would be fun to publish our own poetry chapbooks. So that's how we started out, and we would take them to small press book fairs and sell them there. Then we thought it would be fun to publish an anthology. So we put out a call to writers and artists to send us their work on food and drink. We got a lot of good work and sifted through it, found a designer and a printer, and we had a book. So our book is Crave It, Writers and Artists Do Food. And then we followed that one up with the next anthology, Seek It, Writers and Artists Do Sleep. But one of our editors, Ruth Parker, had a stroke before the book was finished, and she died a few months later. So we've put everything on hold right now. We're deciding what we want to do next.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah,
well, I do hope that it carries on, and now I see why it's called Red Claw Press. It came from your lobster group.
That's right.
So you mentioned in there, too, that at some point you had been a group that was thinking about retreats, but you are involved with retreats. You run them in Bermuda, and this is your island home. So how does that all come about, and how is that important to you as a writer?
I was born and grew up in Bermuda, and I am a Bermudian as well as a Canadian. And at some point it started to become important to me to reconnect with the island as a writer, and I had fortuitously met a poet named Nancy Ann Miller when I was at the postgraduate conference in Vermont one year, and we kept in touch, and she was telling me about the Bermudian literary community and what was going on there. So I was really excited to hear that Bermudians were writing. When I grew up, you never heard about Bermudians writing. We didn't study Bermudian literature. We studied British literature and sometimes American writing. So that was exciting to me. I decided to take a group of U.S. and Canadian writers down to the island and see if we could have some contact with Bermudian, with the local Bermudian writers. So we've been doing that for the past 7 years, I think, and we always try and do some kind of event with the local writers. So one year we had Francine Dick, a Toronto playwright, was part of our group, so we did a play reading of one of her plays at the Dalesford Theatre in Hamilton, and the writing community and the theatre community came out for that, so that was really a lot of fun and a great way to meet people.
So how do you go about organizing such a thing and getting in touch with the Bermudian writers and finding the Canadian or U.S. writers who want to be part of this?
Well, it all seems to happen by word of mouth. It's a small group. We're always a small group. It ranges between 6 and 12 people. So the workshops are small and intimate. We have 4 morning workshops during the week, and that usually inspires people to do more writing as well. And the rest of the time, we enjoy the island.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I could do with a bit of sun right now.
Yes.
Now, we heard about your fiction and, you know, studying it at Vermont before the break, but you also have published poetry. Is this an important piece in your life? What inspires you to write poetry?
Well, when I started writing as a teenager, I was writing poetry. Then in my 20s, I got distracted and started writing fiction. But I keep coming back to poetry, and I find I come back to poetry sometimes at difficult times in my life, or sometimes I just get led back there. When I found it at a certain point in the Literary Lobster, the writers group that I belong to, most people were writing poems, and so I started writing poems again. And now I'm also part of a small online poetry group of 3 Bermudian writers who live, the other 2 live in the States, and I live here. So that's really gotten me back into poetry. I do find that some things just want to be expressed as poems, not as stories or memoir.
Do you write every day? Are you a disciplined writer, or do you write when the muse strikes? Or
I believe in writing every day. The reality is that I don't write every day, but that's my goal. My goal is to write every day.
And when you write, do you work on a particular project, or do you decide that day this is a poetry day or this is a fiction day? Or?
Usually I'm focused on a particular project at any given week or month, but some days do end up being poetry days.
Well, perhaps you could read a bit of your poetry for us.
I have three of my Bermuda poems here. So I'll read Take Out from the House of India. Big guy, tourist, squeezes in, blinks the case of pastries we've been eyeing into darkness. We cry out, and he recalls a twitch in his shoulder blade as it made contact with the switch, brightens us up again. With those muscles, he could cart limestone, build a wall, till soil for potatoes, bear the sacks on his back, like my forebears, arrived from Madeira, after emancipation prompted a search for keen, cheap labor. My friend and I slip past him, out into Bermuda night, slice of post-colonial coconut pie in its tidy container, protected from the relentless wind that whips us up the sidewalk, into the car, and away. She drops me at the guest house, declines the pie. I eat my half, carefully dissected, alone in a room where I, too, am a tourist. Having lived off-island for 36 years, I step back now and then to taste nights sweetened with tree frog peeps and wailing with a wind that knows no barriers, can dissolve time, sweep through the island in the second it takes to switch off the lights with one careless brush of its indelible back. This Island of Forgetting. On Reed Street, Friday morning, sidewalks, metal studs, startle sandal soles with forgotten familiarity. Toll me back 40 years, cement gray as aged limestone, worn smooth as surf brush sand, concealing bits of shell and coral. Bermudian voices offer of quiet, furtive mourning, as if Dubai's know me. Gone these many years, they make me feel local again. Feet steering me to school or work, the days I march deposit bags to the bank or paid duty on a fresh shipment of rings. My father's jewelry store that always faced the ferry terminal is gone, the newer one at the other end of Front Street, where cruise ships dock, infrequent now, few small enough to enter harbor, town quieted, stilled, returned to the islanders and their business. Mine, to park myself in archives hush, furrow pages, turn up secrets, origins, unions, children's deaths kept hidden behind the blind eyes of grandfathers, the sealed crypts of mouths mumbled greetings, buried in iron-rich soil, red as dried blood. How is it I feel known on this island of forgetting? Recognize my own face in the print of parish records, recall body's metal. Learn how to make a new register, connect lines, map to locate the multiple self spread over earth and water.
Oh, that's a really moving poem. Did you, in fact, spend a lot of time digging into your past in Bermuda?
I've just started. I started last time I was there at the archives, and I bought this massive book that's a list of births and deaths and I think it's the 1800s, so I found out a lot about my family already.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes, it is. It's fascinating.
Well, thank you so much for reading for us today and for answering the questions and letting us find out a little bit more about you and the world that you inhabit.
Thank you, Gwen.
Our listeners, where would they be able to get your book?
My story collection, What We Hold in Our Hands, is available through the publisher, Demeter Press, demeterpress.org. And also on Amazon.com. And there's an ebook. I think you can get it on Amazon.ca and maybe Indigo as well.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm hoping it will be available in local bookstores too.
Well, thanks once again for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in today. If you would like to contact us, please email us at wordonthehills897@gmail.com or leave a message at our website, www.wordonthehills.com. And at our website, too, you can find all our programs from the last year archived in case you've missed any of them or would like to listen to them again. So thanks once again for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again next week.